And so I said, wow. I said, are you a Christian? He said, oh, yeah. I said, you go to church? Oh, yeah. And he said, the college, he immediately turned back to the college and had a purple shirt on. He said, "You at least you got the right colors on." And he turned, he said, coach, look here, this guy, he's dressed up nice, but he's got the right colors on. I turned around, looked at this coach, and he was dressed in purple. And I said, praise God, do you know Jesus? He said, I've heard about him. He turned around and walked right on. He didn't want nothing to do with me. He was walking right straight toward me until I said, wow, do you know Jesus? He said, I've heard of him. He didn't know him. And then I started asking those young people, do you know Jesus? Some of them said, no, I don't know him. Some of them said, yeah, I know him. It's amazing. You know, boy, I mean, there you'd be amazed in a hotel full of young people how quick you'd stir up a hornet's nest. You know, praise God. You know, it's lots of fun serving the King. You know, but I know who I am in Christ. Amen. I know the spiritual blessings that He's given me. And I know that I have dominion and power over every devil of hell in that place. You know, that's just like the other night. Cheryl and I come in at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock from preaching. And I take her on upstairs and she's getting ready. I said, I'm going to run back down there and get us some tea. You know, so we can have a little tea because we just need to rest a few minutes before we go to bed. I said, let's just have a cup of tea and maybe I'll get us a package of candy or something down around that little machine. So I go down there to get us a cup of tea, and this real pretty young lady, little girl black Jenny, you know, just about her size and her beautiful little girl. She comes in there, and she walks up there, and she's standing there at the counter. Is anybody here? And I said, honey, the guy was there just a minute ago. I said he probably went out that back door to do something, or who knows what he went out for. But I said, he'll be back in just a minute. And so she's standing there, she's walking around and everything, waiting. And I get my tea fixed, and I start to leave, and I said, can I ask you a question? Said, well, yeah. I said, are you a born-again Christian? She had a real low-cut dress on. And she said, yes, I am. I said, do you go to church? She said, yes, I do. And she turned and put her arms over the counter and put her bottle of drink between her breasts. Come under conviction immediately. All I did was ask her about Jesus. I thought, isn't that amazing? She's running around there with the cut hanging down, showing herself to everybody until I started talking to her about Jesus. And then all of a sudden she knew she's supposed to cover herself up. Isn't that amazing? I began to talk to her, and I said, you're a beautiful young lady. I said, whatever you do, if you really do know Jesus, keep yourself clean and pure for the King. You know. And she said, I know what you're talking about. I said, okay. Okay. You know, if we don't do things like that, the devil will do something else. You know, we need to be men and women of integrity. Everywhere we go, we need to be holy. Yes, need to have clean, pure thoughts in our heart. Amen. And if you haven't taken these spiritual blessings and asked the Lord to go in and scrub your heart like David did, yes, Lord, create in me a clean heart. I don't want no darkness in my heart. Do you? No. Don't want no darkness in there. I only want these wonderful spiritual blessings in there. Well, we talked about healing last week. That's a spiritual blessing. That's yours. We talked about the strength of the Lord and all that. That was yours. And then we're going to go today to start off on 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 and 31. And then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1, and on through verse 16. Now then, let's use we're going to use it probably both. The King James. Start off with the King James, and then we'll go to the NLT. But 1 Corinthians 1, 30 and 31. And 1 Corinthians 1:30, it's in the King James, it says, but of him are you in Christ Jesus. Now, you are in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. He is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That's all yours because of what Jesus did. In other words, wisdom. Is there any greater wisdom than God has? And that wisdom is available to you. It is a free gift. All you got to do is ask for it. It just like James chapter 1 says that in verse 5, any man lack wisdom, let him ask God who gives liberally, but without finding fault. But when you ask, you must ask with no doubt in your heart. And so he has made unto us wisdom and righteousness. Now, he is our righteousness. So if he is that righteous, what should be our goals? Should we walk? Should we desire to walk in the righteousness that he sees us as? Of course. That's where we should walk. And sanctification. That means he has set you apart to use you mightily for his kingdom. You know, he didn't set you apart to go out and do sin, did he? No. He set you out apart to do something great. And then he has redeemed us from every sin and every curse. He has set us free. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So if God gives you all those wonderful things and you have this great and awesome wisdom and you use it for great things and you learn to be a son of God and you become the best at whatever you are. I don't care if you're a potty cleaner or you're a lawyer. It don't make no difference which end of the spectrum you're on. You ought to be the best there is in the business. You know it? I don't care what God's given you the gift to do. You know, if he's given you a job and it's washing dishes in a restaurant, wash them boogers good. Don't let a dirty spot be on one of them things. Wash them good. Because if that's the amount of wisdom and gift he's given you and you do a good job, you're going to get the same gift that guy that who knows what he might have been. He might have been the biggest TV evangelist preacher there was. And you think, ooh, I wish I could be like him. I wish I could have all that. But you know, when you get home someday, you might find out the little street sweeper, the little guy that was cleaning the potties, or the guy that was washing dishes, he might die before you do. And one day when you get home, you might find him living in a humongous mansion up there. And you think, wow, who was he? And he said, well, he was a member of your church. He washed dishes for a living. Oh, that's why I didn't ever know him. You know, because he just washed it. He was nothing. Wow, if he got a home like that, I was the pastor of this huge church. I was on national television every day. I wonder what I'm going to get. And then he takes you down on the south back 40 and says, he says, who's that dinky little house? He says, that's yours. See, it may be like that someday when we get there. You know that? Because a lot of times we glory and, oh, look at me. I'm somebody. I can do all these things. I don't have time to deal with you. I'm a big evangelist preacher. You, I ain't got time to mess with you. Hey, if you get a back 40, you're going to be lucky. Because there ain't no love in that, is there, Ernest? Ain't no love in that. Your glory and your... And it says, therefore, as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Amen. So if you're able... I mean, if you're washing them dishes, somebody says, man, you're the best dishwasher I ever seen in my life. Said, I'm bringing glory and honor to my Lord Jesus Amen. Christ.
Amen.
If you're the best preacher in town, and everybody knows it, and they're saying things to you, wow, look at you, you're a great preacher. You say, I'm only great because of Jesus.
Amen.
I can only glory in him. I mean, he's given me these gifts. Let it be known that I don't want to know nothing except Jesus and him crucified. You know, I can't take a breath without the King. I mean, I can't do nothing without Jesus, right? So I can't glory in nothing about me or you, can we? No. Only because Jesus has given us these gifts. He's chosen us. Now then, I'll tell you what. If we start taking a little bit of that credit ourselves, he'll take it away from you. You know, I remember Smith Wigglesworth, some of the statements he made when people started calling him so much in his later years, and they was wanting Smith to come, and they said, oh, you're the greatest healer we ever saw. He said, don't say that. He said, Jesus is the healer, Amen. Not me. Oh, but you do it. You do it. And he said, don't say that. And they said, why? He said, he'll kill me.
That's right.
And at 87, he did get to go home to be with Jesus. But there was too many people looking at Smith as a healer. He was a very powerful man with God. But how many people does God share his glory with? Zero. You know, so if you start taking a little bit of glory, saying I'm somebody or something, you better watch out. He's very merciful, but you fixing to get a whipping. You ain't going to like it. You know, you ain't going to like it. And somebody said, well, I'm his daughter. I'm his favorite daughter. He wouldn't do me like that. I got news for you. He will do you like that. It don't make no difference. In fact, Cheryl and I ministered to so many people that were having so much trouble this last few days. And it's amazing how many times we had to tell them whenever they had a problem. But my uncle, my dad, you might, whatever they did. You don't know what they did to me. Hey, it don't make no difference what they did to you. Forgive them.
Amen.
Turn them over to him who judges righteously.
Yes.
See, don't try to get even with them yourself. Because if you do, that's going to open a door for the devil to come in and kill you. And, of course, there's so many people in that church up there had no idea that God would send a demon to torment you. They just couldn't go there, some of them. What? God would send a demon to torment me? I said, well, I'm going to show you in the Word where he will. And then after you show it to them in the Word, they say, well, I'm sure I believe that, but that's what it says. Well, one little girl come up to me about this big. She said, Mr. Scrivener, I was raised in a Baptist church, and I want to ask you what you think about eternal security. I said, honey, you love serve Jesus. You have the most eternal security there is. You can't go wrong if you put Jesus first all your life. But she said, what if I backslide and get away from him and start doing things I'm not supposed to? And what if I die over there? I said, you might go to hell. She said, but you know, the Baptist church tells me once saved, always saved. I said, I know. I was one of those for a Baptist for 65 years. But I said, I don't believe that no more.
Amen.
There's too many scriptures that said you get away from God. You know, he said, if you remain faithful to the... Ooh. He says, if you're... Paul's talking to the Galatians. We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.